Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Empowering Family Caregiver Show on Blog Talk Radio. I am Polly Whitehorn, your host for today's show, sponsored by eCareDiary.com. Today, we are going to focus on helping a challenging senior prepare a care plan. I am very pleased to introduce our distinguished guest, Jacqueline Marcel. She is the author of Elder Rage, a Book of the Month Club selection that is required reading at numerous universities and is being considered for a film. She is also an elder care and Alzheimer's advocate and has been featured on the Today Show, CNN, in a PBS Alzheimer's documentary, and was a cover story on the AARP Bulletin. Over 50 prestigious endorsements include Regis Philbin, Lisa Gibbons, Johns Hopkins Memory Clinic, and the National Adult Day Services Association, who honor Jacqueline with their Media Award. Well, Jacqueline, thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, thanks for having me, Polly.
Well, this is great. You just got so much to share that I know our audience will just love hearing what you can help them with. And, you know, one of the key things here is that caregivers really struggle to deal with seniors and those challenging moments. And we all know they can be challenging and everything kind of changes from day to day. Why do you think some seniors make it difficult for those who want to help them?
Well, in my case, with my father, you know, he'd always been there for me 1,000%, was great, but he always had a bad temper. My whole life, I grew up with this. So it wasn't anything new for me. It was never directed at me before. But his temper wasn't new, but it was new that it was directed at me, and it was so over the top, over the most ridiculous things. And so what was happening with him is, and with it, all of us as we get older, we become addicted and trapped in our own bad behavior of a lifetime, you know, that's just who we are. And then you get to, you're facing your mortality directly. You've had, how many funerals have you been to by the time you're a senior, and your friends and family and sickness and heartache and all these things happening, and you're holding on, and now you've got the kid that you've raised and done so much for telling you you can't do this, you can't do that, we're going to move you out of your house, we're going to take away your car keys. How angry are you going to be?
Yeah.
So I always say, you know, walk a mile with their walker. And you've got to be compassionate, and you've got to say, okay, and you got to start the conversation sooner than later, you know. Sit down and say, you know, Mom, Dad, I don't know if you guys know, I am an organ donor. Oh, honey, we didn't know that. Yeah, well, here's my card, you know, in case something happens to me, and here's where my this is, and, you know, if something happens, here's this and this and this, and here's my wishes, and, you know, a copy of this. And now, how about you guys? You know, we've never discussed. What are your wishes? Oh, honey, let's not talk about that. Well, you know, let's get it down, because, you know, well, then we can just, you know, put it away, and hopefully you live to 102 and both pass away at the same moment in your sleep. But just in case that doesn't happen, don't, you know, please give me some guidelines. I want to know what your wishes are so I can do for you what you want. And, you know, if you start to get, you know, not thinking too clearly, or a little dementia starts on you, you know, and you're not thinking quite clearly, I want to make sure that we've done this while you were, you know, really still with it. And, you know, we can revisit this once a year. Well, that's what everybody should have done. But nobody does that soon enough. And then they wait and they wait and they wait. And then all of a sudden, like, you know, I didn't know it to do that. And here's my father screaming and yelling. And here I'd flown from Southern California to San Francisco to help them. He'd been taking care of my mom for many years, but just couldn't do it anymore. And she almost died from his inability to take care of her. So I had to persevere. I had to step in. And here he starts, you know, I threw away a little hand towel. And he came out of it. He took it out of the trash. He threw it in my face. He's screaming and yelling at me, how dare you throw away my hand towel? And I'm like, Daddy, I'm so sorry. Was this one special or something? You know, and I he just went into this. Now I'm thinking, okay, this is, you know, over the top. This is, you know, even for him, who's always had a bad temper, this is really weird about this hand towel. I said, Dad, I bought you, you know, I'm crying. I said, I bought you a new one. It was a buck and a half, you know. And then he ends up throwing me out of the house. So I'm thinking, okay, this is the stress of caring for Mom all these years. It's my first day there. I hadn't even, you know, tried to do anything yet. And he's just aging and da-da-da. And it was all that. But it was also the beginning of some type of dementia in him, namely Alzheimer's. And I took him to the doctor. I called the doctor right away. You know, he said, well, can you bring him in? I called Dad, and he was totally normal the next day. And I'd be like, okay, so that was just a weird episode. He's sorry, and okay, that'll be fine. Take him to the doctor. He's a peach. They say, what day is it? What time is it? Who's the governor? He seems fine to us. We've known your dad, you know, 25 years. We've never seen any, you know, it must have been a weird thing. Take him home. Well, this was the beginning of a year of episodes like that, where one minute he would be, you know, I called him Jekyll and Hyde in my book because it was just one minute he would be my loving dad and then something would set him off in these crazy behaviors. Well, none of the healthcare professionals caught it, that it was the beginning of some type of dementia. And because, see, what everybody needs to know is dementia starts so subtly, so intermittently. It comes, it goes, and everybody ignores it, thinking it's normal aging, signs of stress, da-da-da. Then you get to the crisis point when anybody can diagnose it because they don't know you anymore. So that's the thing. You can put a, you know, a design a plan, and then it goes out the way. I can't tell you how many little signed contracts I had with Dad. We're going to do this, 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 this. And he would agree, yes, that's a good thing. And then within a few days, he'd be throwing caregivers out of the house. They didn't do this right. Throw things at them, scream, call them racist names. I just was mortified the entire year. So I went through this whole year I shouldn't have had to go through if I only knew then what I know now, which was I needed to get him to a neurologist who was specialized in dementia. Because I took him to a neurologist. Seems fine to us. Once I got him and they did the blood, the neurological, the memory tests, the PET scans, you know, it was very comprehensive. They ruled out all the reversible dementias, the B12 deficiency, folate deficiency, thyroid deficiency, depression alone can cause these symptoms. You know, evaluated all the medications. I mean, it was very thorough. You should have seen my face drop when they got the diagnosis. I was like, what? You're kidding me. Come on. This can't be. Come. So what I want everybody to know is the 10 early warning signs. Once you know the 10 early warning signs, then the light bulb can start to go off in your head about what's going on. And you can get those for free right now if you just go to my website. If you go to elderrage.com, scroll down on the left, click on the 10 warning signs, print those out, put them in a little spiral notebook. So every time your loved one does one of these, you're aware of what's going on and you're not crying your heart out. I could have saved a fortune in Kleenex if I'd only known this a year sooner. And you have a better way of keeping track of these, so when you do get in front of the doctor and they say, seems fine to us, you can say privately, here are some examples of things that I've observed, you know, the short-term memory issue. My mother asked me the same question 3 times within 5 minutes. She didn't recall misplacing things in odd places. I found Dad put his keys in the microwave, someplace he would have never put them. Once you understand these warning signs, then when they occur, you don't chalk them up to normal aging. You don't just chalk them up to stress. Or you go, oh, this is what Jacqueline was talking about. Now I get it. And it will save you a tremendous amount of heartache. So once you get to the right doctors, and you've called the insurance, you know who the top neurologist specialized in dementia is, you get the diagnosis, then you can put a care plan together. Much easier once the dementia has been medically treated. And if you catch it early enough, we got some Band-Aids. Yeah, they're not going to cure it, they're not going to stop it, but most people will help. I saw it in both my parents. So then you can put the care plan together with a little less resistance of what needs to be done, because whatever they consented to before they had dementia, they will completely forget about if they're going to be challenging and fight you on every detail. How's that for an answer? But that's what I learned in a nutshell. Oh.
Very interesting, very interesting. What do you do when you don't have the answers? Because it sounds like, you know, once you have a diagnosis, you can start to put the pieces in place, but there are days when crazy behaviors pop up and then you don't have the answers. What do you do in those situations?
You know, first you take a deep breath. And you've got to let this stuff roll off, and you've got to learn some behavior techniques. This is what I lecture about all over the country. It's in my book. It's all about how to, when they, a mom would say, I'm trying to feed her, she won't eat. I'm like, and she's like 95 pounds soaking wet, you know. She's like, Jacqueline, I'm going to get fat. She's clenching her teeth. She won't let me get the spoon in her mouth. What are you going to do? You know, grab her jaw and force it open. You know, what's the doctor going to do at that point? So I went, okay, what can I do? So I said, oh, Mom, you're going to get me in big trouble. And I would flash something that looked like a prescription thing. You know, I had all these, like, fake prescriptions that said, you know, I got to call the doctor and tell her what you ate. She's going to get so mad at me if I don't, oh, my gosh, Mom, please, let's take a couple more bites. Guess what? I got some of your favorite almond roca. If we take five more bites, we'll both have a couple almond rocas. How's that? And I could get her to open her mouth, and she would chew every bite about 100 times. So it was an all-day project to feed her every day. And then I would get the Ensure Pluses, and I would put the, you know, get more calories in her that way. But, you know, all these ways to try to figure out how to get her to eat. Some days she would, some days she wouldn't. So you learn, I call it fibology.
Fibology.
A little fibology. How do you get, one day Dad was swearing at me when I said, Dad, you smell. You got to take a shower. You haven't taken one for over a week. I just took one yesterday. Well, are you going to convince a person with dementia, I don't care if they're on medication or not, that they just took a shower yesterday when in their mind it was, you know, in their mind it was yesterday, and you know that it was not the case. So what are you going to do, hog tie and drag a 185-pound man into the shower who won't allow you to give him a sponge bath? So you got to be creative, and you got to use a little fibology. So I said, oh, really? Yesterday, gee, seems longer. You know, that darn daycare, which I adore, by the way. Everybody, please listen to me. Adult daycare is the answer to these things, to get them something to do all day. But anyway, I said to him, I said, well, you know, they want you to have a shower every day down there. But, you know, I'll let you go every other day. We just won't tell them. And if you go in and get a shower, I'm going to make you a special dessert. Now, I could put fat-free vanilla ice cream on just about anything, and he'd love that. So I used bribery a lot, you know, and then I made it very user-friendly in there, and I had this little seat in there, and I would put the towels in the dryer because he was cold a lot. So I would, you know, circulation, older people are cold a lot. So I put the towels in the dryer so it'd be nice and warm when he got out. And, you know, he had arthritis, so it was hard for him to get undressed and all that. So I got all his clothes without the buttons, and I got everything with Velcro. I became the Velcro queen. Everything was Velcro. I found a Velcro towel thing that he could wrap around him that would Velcro when he got out of the shower. And, you know, got the shower massage thing in there. So just made it very user-friendly for him. So it was and I heated up like a steam room before he got in there, you know, so it would be really nice. So just trying to make it it was easier for him to accomplish. There was a reward at the end of it. And I gave him, after he got out, even he would swear I could hear him swearing the whole time he was in there. But when he'd get out, then I'd hug him and kiss him and tell him, oh, you're Thank you. So it's like with a kid, you know, you reward good behavior. So these little things are, how do you get somebody to do these things? You've got to try. Not everything works every time. So there, I didn't even know that healthcare professionals had come up with names for these things, but distraction, redirection, reminiscence, validation. There's all these terms, which I had no idea what they were. I just called a lot of it go with the flow when I was a caregiver. And I had all these social workers coming in. Nobody taught me anything. And, you know, I had to kind of figure out, how am I going to get them to do this and that? And, you know, I'd write down these ideas, and we'd have the care plan in place, and I'd have the social worker in place, and I'd have the everything in place, you know, that whole year before I finally got the right diagnosis. And it would just be thrown out the window the next day. So I think flexibility is my big key message here, that, you know, one minute you have it figured out and you go to bed. And I remember I had the doctor prescribe these medications, you know, to try to calm him because he was just being horrible physically. And I thought, oh, I went to bed. Oh, he's going to be great by the morning. Oh, by the morning he was a blubbering, you know, just so over-medicated, falling and drooling, and, you know, and you're like, oh, my gosh, what happened now? So what I want to tell everybody is, it's the hardest thing you're going to do, and know that, but there's other people that have gone before you, and there's resources now, there's help out there, there's ideas, you know, get thee to a support group. I can't tell you how many people told me that, Polly, and I'm like, where am I going to find the time to do? I have two people I'm taking care of. I can't get anybody to come sit with them because Dad is so mean. How am I going to go to a support group? You know, if you can get to a support group, I encourage it, because a year into this, once I finally got them properly medically treated, and I don't mean zombied out and in bed all day, but I mean medically treated by the right doctors, then I was able to implement more of these behavioral techniques. They worked more often, and then I was able to get them into adult daycare, where before he wouldn't consent to that. Hey, are you kidding me? And finally, and then he started to enjoy it. And so that gave me the break during the day to finally get to the support group. And then I was stunned. I found there's other people that are going through, because I thought, you know, intellectually, you know, there's other people going through this. But emotionally, you think you are the only one that could be going through something this horrific. Mm-hmm. I hear that every day from caregivers. I didn't know there was anybody else. Your book helped me so much. I thought I was the only one going through something so crazy. So you get to the support group and solutions start to present themselves, because other people are going through this. You say, oh, I can't get my mother to stop driving. And then you go, I know, I went through that too. Here's what you do. And all these little solutions and ideas and tricks and little, you know, ways, because there's, you can put it down, and you're going to have to modify it.
Mm-hmm.
You want me to tell you what I did with the driving thing?
I was going to ask you that. I was very curious about what your strategy was.
Oh, my gosh. I think that's one of the hardest. And, yeah, you know, you have to understand, you know, again, you know, Dad loved to drive. He'd never had an accident. And, you know, here's Mom going, your father's a wonderful driver. He's never had an accident. Well, you know, he wouldn't let me drive the car. Can you imagine? The whole time I'm there, I had to rent a car. He refused to allow me to drive his car. you know, I can't even tell you. He hid the keys. We couldn't find them. I mean, he was horrible. So I finally, you know, I had all the healthcare professionals, all the doctors saying, you know, Jake, you've got to give up driving. And he'd say yes, yes, yes. He'd say yes to all the healthcare professionals. He was very cordial. Oh, yes, uh-huh, okay, fine. Uh-huh. And then he wouldn't do anything they said. So,
that's common, yeah.
Yeah, you know, so, but you told the doctor you would. I don't care. I'm not doing da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Okay. So you either drug him, you know, what are you going to do? Drug him out? You know, that's not a solution. So you got to be tricky with your ideas here. So I finally, one day, we couldn't find the keys. Now, we're parking another car behind his car because we're afraid he's going to, you know, he's stolen the keys out of the caregiver's purse. I finally got him to accept a caregiver at this point. and we cannot find these darn keys. So, Dad, where are the keys? I don't know. You must have lost them. Come on. We had the keys. We drove here. The car. You took them. I don't know. So we pat him down. We can't find his keys. We look with high and low for these darn keys. Finally, a couple days later, he's sitting at the kitchen table. He comes walking out, and you hear clink, clink. Dad, what's that clinking noise? I don't hear anything. Yeah, he wouldn't wear his hearing aid, so he didn't hear a thing. Lift up your pant leg. He's got his coveralls on, so we didn't think to pat him down to the coveralls. He's got the he's got the car keys masking tape to his leg for 3 days.
Oh, my goodness.
Demented does not mean stupid, okay? People think you're demented, you don't know, No. He's still so manipulative and crafty. And then I had to turn my face because I was going to laugh, So I said, you're going to give him up? He's like, no, not giving him up. Okay. Well, I guess I won't talk to you the rest of the day then. So it's like with a kid. Yeah, okay. So you don't reward negative behavior. Oh, not going to talk to you today. Finally couldn't stand it. All right, here they are. Will this make you happy? Yes, thank you. Now I'll serve you some lunch. So it was just amazing. So now what I would do now, because then, we went through that episode, and then there was another one a few months later. He'd forget that he promised not to drive and all that. We put the club on the steering wheel, thinking, okay, well, he can keep his darn keys, but the club, at least he'll go out there and he won't be able. Well, he nearly ripped the entire steering column off trying to get that club off. I gave this lecture one time, and this woman raised her hand. She goes, Jacqueline, I put the club on the steering wheel, and the next day I came to see my parents, my father had AAA there sawing it off.
Oh, my goodness.
So I said, demented does not mean, so what I would do now, I would do all of that, but you can put a notch in their keys so they can keep their keys, but then they go out there, shoot, it won't work. Oh, that darn car, and then I'll have the, I have to take it over, I'll have to have it towed, and then while they're asleep, you drive it off and store it at a friend's place. Oh, they can't get that darn part in from Germany. I don't know what's wrong with that car. That can work sometimes. People say, one gal told me, she goes, oh, my father just bought another car.
Oh, my goodness.
So here's what I would do. You try all these things. But I would say, while Dad was in the shower, I would say, Dad, the Department of Motor Vehicles called. I don't know. Somebody must have reported you driving erratically. Now, he would swear a blue streak about that, but it wouldn't be at me. It would be at the DMV. Now, I would have called the DMV, talked to a supervisor, had everything set in place, have an appointment all set up. And then I said, I know, I've got to take you down there for a routine eye exam. I'm so sorry this has happened. Then he would just scream and yell the entire, I could just hear it all the way to the DMV. And then he couldn't see the big E. And I would tell the supervisor, if he passes the eye test by some fluke, give Mr. Magoo the written test. And if somehow, some miracle, he passes that, clear the parking lot and give him the driving test. But so we actually did try this and ready to walk out the door. And you know what he said? He goes, I don't feel like driving anymore. You just drive us everywhere. My God. And my mother looks at him. She goes, well, honey, then I don't want to hear another swear word about that. And my mother never swore. And we're just like, oh, my gosh. So you try different things. You try it. And then I said, Dad, with the money we could save if we sell the car, think of the money we could get for selling the car, the insurance, the gas, maintenance, blah, blah, blah. Think of the money we can save. You can go by limo to the doctor if you want. And then there were some programs for seniors, for drivers, for seniors, where you could get people lined up for free or a very modest fee. I said, I've signed you up for transportation for seniors, and they'll come pick you up and take you wherever you want to go and da-da-da-da-da. And then soon after that, thank goodness, I got the right diagnosis and got, you know, got him medically treated for the dementia, the depression in both parents, which goes hand in hand many times with the dementia. Now I could get them out of bed. Now they would go with the caregiver, you know, and go to the doctor willingly and go to adult daycare willingly and do these things without being drugged out and sleeping all day. And it just completely turned around the sundowning where he would sleep all day, she would sleep all night, I was up 24/7. So, it's a lot to try to figure out, and you got to roll with the punches. You know, the biggest thing, though, is to put yourself first. Really got to.
I was just going to ask how you avoided burnout.
Well, I didn't. I burned out, and if I had known what I know now, I wouldn't have. But I just didn't know, you know, and I'm fairly bright, you know, I got a few degrees, I'm, you know, highly motivated, highly aggressive, I wasn't a shy person, I was in a major metropolitan area, San Francisco, I was begging for help, I was not being directed properly for a whole year, and I hear this every day from caregivers saying, you know, nobody's directing me properly, I just don't know what to do, and da-da-da, so... You got to put yourself first. Everybody listen to me. All you caregivers, raise your right hand. Listen to me. You have to put you first. Don't say, yeah, 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 Jacqueline. We know. We hear that all the time. Listen to me. I did not put myself first. I was catching every cold, every bronchial. You know, I'm wearing a mask, taking care of my parents because I don't want them to get sick, and I'm getting sick constantly. I'm never sick. My immune system was so shot from all the adrenaline and cortisol surging through me. And you know what? I got breast cancer. There's no breast cancer in our family. There's no cancer. It's, you know, just we're the heart disease group. And I didn't put me first. And so I tell people, you know, you have all those hormones surging through you. You either have an immune system that fights it off or you don't. And when you're under chronic stress of being a caregiver, you can't fight it off. I just have a dear friend that had breast cancer after me. I helped her with that, and now it's metastasized to bone cancer. So it's serious. And, you know, I always tell people, I gave my parents 5 more years of life in their 80s. It cost me several years of my 50s.
Well, Jacqueline, I don't mean to stop you, but we're running out of time, and I'm just so glad that you were able to help our audience with these really critical issues, and you really have a wonderful way of handling these situations.
Thank you.
And I want our audience to know that they can learn more about Jacqueline by visiting her website, which is www.elderrage.com. And I'd like to thank our audience today for tuning in. Join us next time on Tuesday, May the 14th at 2 p.m. Eastern for our live online support group created by and for caregivers and moderated by Marjorie Pabst, eCare Diaries caregiving expert. She will be speaking to John Mills and Susan Vida, co-founders of eCare Diary, and they will talk about the challenges to be faced when the carer becomes the cared for. To learn more about eCare Diary and our upcoming shows, please visit us at www.ecarediary.com. Registration is free and gives you immediate access to your personal care diary tool. You can find us on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. My Twitter address is ecare_diary. Thanks again. Bye now.